Good afternoon, everyone. You're all scattered around the room, which means, for those who are hiding behind pillars, if I move around a little bit, at least you might get to see a bit of who's got the microphone here at the front. Although maybe that's the reason you have sat there, actually, so that you don't have to endure looking at this face at the front. Really, really good to see you. There's a good number of you here this afternoon, and that is obviously because you've heard that this afternoon's seminar is entitled The Prosperity Gospel and How to Get Rich Quick. So welcome. That's another one for another day. Sorry. No, quite the opposite. My name's Neil Passmore, and I'm a minister who has a little bit of a checkered history, should we say. But enough to say, we may cover a little bit of that when I talk about a bit of background in a moment. But yesterday, I was admitted as an Elim minister. So I'm one day old as an Elim minister. This afternoon, as you have seen and as you know, because that's why you're sitting here, is celebrating our seniors and looking at pastoral care to the older generation. And it will be a very practical look. And I say the emphasis on that word practical, because if you do have a notepad or you want a copy of my slides, there are a number of slides, lots of bullet points. There will be a lot of things that I throw out there almost in a scattering way, many things that will maybe get us thinking, some things that you will come to the end and think, well, there's some glaringly obvious omissions there as well. And that's the wonderful thing, because you may be here today and actually be involved in ministry and have been involved in ministry towards seniors in your church or in a various aspects of fellowships over the years. But a practical look at how we can serve, bless, honour and care for our seniors in the church. Now, the interesting thing is that there was a proverb that you may be aware of that says, treat your children well because it is they who will choose your care home. And I would bring that down into a context that says, treat your seniors well because one day I'll be there, you'll be there, if you're not there already. And so it's a wonderful aspect of ministry that I'm involved in. A little bit of my personal background is that I say I'm a day old in ministry, but I was actually in a slightly previous era, an Elim pastor for 18 years. From 1992, when I finished a Bible college, I went into ministry and was in ministry until 2010, during which time I was Newcastle upon Tyne, Clydebank, Kilsyth, Fraserburgh. And if you know your geography, that means I was getting further north on every occasion. And so I now live in Swansea, and bizarrely, as I'll mention in a moment, I am back at my roots, because that is where I was born and brought up, in the Swansea Elim Church, City Church Swansea. And during my time, mainly while I was up in Scotland, now I'm involved in senior ministry, but it was the complete opposite, because I spent around about 14 years as regional youth director in Scotland and then part of the national youth team. So now called Limitless, but you may remember Serious for God. And if you go back far enough, I started when it was called On Target. So that was a few generations ago, where I was involved in youth and children's ministry in the movement. A massive life change occurred, not because I intended it to occur, but because it sort of happened to me, where in 2010 I chose to resign from ministry because of a series of events and traumatic experience within marriage. And so I went into the prison service. And so was in the Scottish Prison Service, first as an officer, then as a manager in three different establishments north of the border. And then when I decided that I couldn't see myself rolling around floors with prisoners and dealing with all sorts of nonsense for another 21 years until I retired, I then decided to go into managing airport security as a supervisor in Aberdeen Airport. And I did that for a number of years. And then because I had met my beautiful wife who works in Ealing Missions, Julie, I then translated down to the Malvern, Worcestershire area and got a job as a funeral director. So they say that I've probably got the most varied CV within Ealing as well. So that was interesting because, and I'll explain again in a moment, as a funeral director, I was carrying on my job, working full-time, and we wanted to relocate to Swansea for a number of reasons, and moved down to Swansea, transferred with my job in the funeral industry, and I'd been in Swansea for a year, where the minister of the church and the eldership, of which one Debo is here this afternoon, approached me just over a year ago and asked if I would be prayerful about being involved as a part-time seniors pastor within the Swansea church. Now, this ratified something that had been stirring within me a little bit of time before, because when I came out of ministry, I was at a stage where I was empty, a shell of a guy, and I said to the Lord, I will never minister again. I have nothing to give. That's the place that that I just come to because of stuff that had happened to me. But whilst in Worcester, where we were living, I was speaking to my parents, and they talked about a situation that had happened in the church where there was a lady and her husband. He didn't come to church. She did. I knew her from years before. And he'd had a fall. She had no family locally. She had not a lot of support. And something stirred in my heart where I ended up saying to Julie, my wife, if I was down in Swansea, I would do this, I would do this, I would do this to support, to help, to guide, to... And I shocked myself because I thought, hang on, there's a little bit of care and love and almost, no, not a little bit of a pastor's heart that I used to have all those years ago. And I began to think, something's happening here. And as I say, the end to that story is that as I started in a role within senior ministry just over a year ago, just over recent times, that gentleman has passed away now. I took that funeral service for the family and took the committal service and took a walk out on a part of the Gower Coast so that the lady could scatter her late husband's ashes. And we had a conversation and said, what has happened in your experience over these last few years resonates with me because that's the reason that stirred me to be in this position where I'm here ministering amongst the seniors in our church. So I am bivocational. I work half of my week in the funeral industry and half of my week within the fellowship, within the church at Swansea as seniors pastor. An overview of what we're going to be looking at this afternoon is the background to seniors ministry, areas of seniors ministry, challenges, opportunities, and possibilities within seniors ministry, practicalities within seniors ministry, and hopefully we'll have time at the very end for some questions and answers and some words of wisdom from those who have been involved in ministry within this area within your churches. The background to seniors ministry. My title is seniors pastor. When our senior pastor of the church announced the new role, half of the church thought that he was leaving and that I was getting his role because they didn't see the S at the end of senior. And so they thought, oh, Neil's becoming the senior pastor. But that's not the case at all and is nowhere near the truth. Seniors pastor is the role. And let me start off by saying there is great value in that title. There's value in the title because my role is dedicated and focused ministry towards our older folks within the church. Probably worth me saying at this point, and we'll come back to roles and whether it's paid, full-time, voluntary, the size of our churches and so on, because really what I'm saying this afternoon isn't hanging on whether you have a full-time person in this role or how many. But in our church at Swansea, we have 140 retirement age and older within the Swansea church. So bizarrely, I find myself pastoring a group of senior people of the number that is more than any church that I pastored when I was generally pastoring a church. So so that kind of, you know, I suppose is the challenge for me in a part-time role within our fellowship. The term seniors ministry or seniors pastor makes a statement because of the importance of the older generation in our churches. Existing alongside other roles that we have in our fellowship, and it may be the same in yours or it may not, but when I was coming back to my home church in Swansea, we have a senior pastor, we have an assistant pastor who also leads worship, we have a children's pastor, we have a youth pastor, we have a students and a young adults pastor. And so the question is, what role was missing from the convolution of areas of ministry that we were relating to within the fellowship? And in a church of around about 750 people in total, with 140 seniors, wonderfully, the leadership of the church came to the decision, we want someone who is focused and dedicated to looking after and supporting and caring for and pastoring our senior generation within the church. My heart was so glad. My heart was so glad. The response that this brought from the seniors in our fellowship was, we've got our own pastor. And that isn't to take away from anything else, because it's not a divided or anything like that. But what it did mean is that our older generation were able to say, and I must say that half of our older generation knew me from when I was born, before I left the church when I was 19, and I'm 54 now. And a lot of people, there was a real sense of, Neil has returned home. We know his heart. We know his background. We know he's a stayer. We know he's reliable. We know he's honest. We know he's caring. And we love the fact that Neil has got the fit in the fellowship to be in this role. And so the response was, great. We're being thought of. You know, there was a real sense of value in that. It gave people a sense of there is an immediate point of contact. The senior pastor is pastoring a church of 750 people. It's hard to get to speak to, you know, to everyone. It's hard to share ourselves around, even as a team and as, you know, in the structure that we have, as good as it is. It also meant that there could be a quick response. If something happens, if emergency help is needed, if something is on someone's mind, there's a quick response because there's a dedication and a focus in that area. There's a dedication to the needs of the older generation, and there are huge needs. Some of you may not be aware of those needs because you're not there yet. Some of you may be looking with a glint in your eye saying, we know the needs of the older generation. My mum is 85, My dad was into his 80s when he passed away nearly 3 years ago, and I saw them getting older. I, as a family member, was ministering to those areas of need from a distance, and now on the ground as well, with situations that my mum is going through and situations that so many of an older generation are going through. But more about that as we go through. The role is more important than the title. And this is what I say. It doesn't matter if you're in a church of 20 or 30 people, or a church plant, or a church of over 1,000 people. The role of ministry towards seniors within a church is far more important than whatever the title or the salary scale or the voluntary contribution or the part-time, full-time aspect of things. Because in smaller churches, the need for senior ministry, surprise, surprise, is still the same regardless of whether you have 140 older folks in a church or whether you have 10. I learned from the very beginning when I was in my first church that it was important in a church of my first Sunday in a church where there were 18 people and there were probably about 5 elderly people, and I made it my point to get to their house and to love them and to care for them and to work with what they could work with and what was difficult for them to work with, and just to love and to minister to the older folks within the church and within every church that I've been in. Areas of ministry within seniors ministry. My main focus, and it's always been my main focus, has been visiting and visitation and pastoral contact with folks. When I was 15 years of age in the Swansea Church, the pastor at the time and the leadership, they developed what were called care area leaders, probably the forerunner of house groups and connect groups as we have now and so on. Various geographical areas of the city were put into smaller, more chewable areas that would include about 10 or 15 households. And at the age of 15, I was asked to become a care area leader, looking after a group of these households, myself and another person in the youth group with me. What on earth the leadership were doing in trusting me as a 15-year-old and my friend who was about 18 probably at the time. But I guess they saw something in us that said, there's a caring heart, and that's what we're looking for. And they released me at the age of 15 into a form of what I look back on now as pastoral ministry. Of ministry, just looking after people, shepherding people, and being there for people. When I was 18, I felt the call of God to go into ministry as a pastor. And I look back and think, well, that church leadership at the time knew what they were doing. They spotted something maybe, and then they just let me fly. And so I went off to Bible college, became an assistant pastor, where I was encouraged to get involved in church visitation, especially to the elderly. And in every church I then pastored, I would always spend half of my week at least visiting my congregation. Now, these days, and over this last year, on a part-time basis, those numbers have gone up a little bit since I prepared my slides about a month and a half ago, but I've visited over 300 homes and care homes and hospital visits and everything, and I love to do that. And amazingly, the people who I visit seem to find that they've loved that as well. Without a shadow of a doubt, there is something about being face-to-face with people. COVID took that away from us, didn't it? I was still a full-time funeral director, and I saw the pain of not being able to be together when loved ones were passing away and when crematoriums were saying only 5 people can attend, and so on. But, you know, that's another story. But, you know, I've always said from the time I was in my early 20s and started to pastor churches, local churches, that you can build more relationship during 1 hour in someone's home over a cup of tea and a biscuit, or two, or three. I try to limit it. Than a year of Sundays. Seeing someone in church, you know, you're all sitting there looking here, and you're seeing the back of someone else's head. And then at the end of a session or at the end of church, we turn around, we say hello to a few folks around us. Some people have raced out the door. Some people stay. We've all got things that we need to do. And you don't really get an opportunity to build a lot of relationship on a Sunday, do we? You know, unless we really stay behind until they're flicking the lights for us to leave. But go to someone's home and spend an hour talking about family, talking about life, talking about the stresses, talking about the problems, talking about the delights, talking about the history, talking about these things. There is something that is so dynamic and so powerful about building relationship with people in our churches who we love and who we care for. We can lead, we can direct people through Sunday ministry, but we can't care for people unless we're with them. This phrase that's always been used, people don't care what you know unless they know that you care. And in all I try to do, and in all we do when we're ministering to every generation, but in this context to our seniors within churches, we all want to be cared for, don't we? My colleagues in the funeral sector, well, when I'm on a church day, my boss will be heard to be saying to my colleagues, oh, Neil's on one of his Talking with God days. And then some of my colleagues who aren't Christians in the funeral business will say, oh, Neil's out having his tea and biscuits tomorrow. And that's what they think I do. And I do. But that's not just what I do. But I've got to say, being out for tea and biscuits, the power of building relationship and the power of care and the power of love and the power of being available to share, to talk to through things, to confide, to pray. The powerful times of prayer. I mean, I don't have time to go through the multitude of different illustrations that I could bring to you this morning. I could talk about all 140 people who I visited, many more than once, as you'll know from the numbers I've given there, because of prioritizing with those who are housebound or those who are in hospital who need more visits at a certain time and a season they're going through, and those who are fighting fit and who are at church every Sunday, but I'll still pop round every now and again to have a cuppa. Because you don't build a relationship on the Sunday, there's not enough time, it's not conducive. The answered prayers that I've seen, people who come to me 2 weeks later and say, when you came round and you just said that in conversation, a light bulb came on, it was like God spoke to me, and that's released me into, you know, that struggle that I was going through. That's released me. And the impartation that you can have just being with people. Do you get the impression that I think being with people and visiting people and having a coffee with people is quite important? That's where my starting point is. And conversely, in many cases, never being visited, you know, that can bring pain and disappointment sometimes. We won't labour it, but I'll throw it out there. How many times have we been in a situation where we really could have done with some support and some visitation and someone just alongside us? But, you know, everyone might be just too busy. And maybe people haven't worked out that we're going through something, and so we go through it alone. That can be painful. That can be difficult. And so on a converse basis, visitation, when it's not there, when we don't connect with people, when we're not available to people, that can say more sometimes than when we are available to people, if you know what I mean. What else can we look at in areas of seniors ministry? Well, we have gatherings. You may call something that goes on in your church Silver Surfers, or Encore, or Any other names? Trilogy. Ooh, that's not yours, but that's in my daughter Christie's church, maybe. I can remember being pastoring up in Kilsyth, the church that John Glass was at, and Jim Dick. I worked on team with Jim Dick, who some of you will remember. And we had golden days. You know, lots of different forms and lots of different ways of doing things. But this is something that we do and something that many of our churches do. Because of my constraints within the part-time aspects of things, and because we've just been doing this for a year, things may change and I may revise things. But this is held every 6 weeks or so. Hosted in the church or at other venues to bring a bit of variety, varieties of activities, some in the form of church service. You know, I was brought up on hymns. We don't always sing a lot of the old hymns in modern church because culture moves on. But I tell you, when we sing a few hymns when we're with our seniors, I raise the roof. The roof gets raised by the singing, and 60 or 70 or 80 people together without needing the words on a screen or even looking at the redemption hymnal, you know, we just delight in praising God. And I tell you what, in those times, I'm nearly falling over with the presence of God that I sense as God just comes in that worship context. And, you know, there are lots of different things that we do. It's not all, you know, the sort of religious setup we had in Easter celebration with communion, which was a really powerful time. But then other times we just have cake and conversation. We go and visit a cafe down on the Mumble seafront, and we just take over that cafe, and everyone just gets what they want and orders, and we spend a couple of hours just, and people come back at the end of that, and as I'll say in a little while, enjoy just being together. That's the key. Whatever we do, it's not about the context and the venue and the format. It's the fact, and this comes back time and time again, it's we were connecting with people again. We were talking to people again. You created an environment where we could just be together. We've had songs of praise times. We've had soup and sandwiches. We've had worship and testimonies. You know, when I've got our 102-year-old and our 97-year-old, Marion Hardman, who was the pastor's wife, of the pastor who dedicated me 54 years ago, and she's in my seniors group, and she gives a testimony, and there's the pin can drop, not because everyone's fallen asleep or anything, but just with hanging on to every word that Marion is sharing with us and the wisdom that comes out of life stories of what has happened in people's lives. Christmas meals together, what an experience, just making it like a full-blown restaurant with the crystal and the glass sparkling and a team of people coming in to serve, and that gets talked about way past Christmas and into the next year. Going to other cafes, having guest presentations and so on. There's all sorts of things, but the key is it's gathering together. It's getting people together. I'll go on to that a little bit with some of the practicalities. Phone calls. When you can't visit, when you can't gather, so easy to be able to pick up the phone. And so, as well as those who I don't have time to visit within my constraints, there's always the phone to be able to follow up on things, to be able to phone people who you don't have time physically to get around as much as you would like to. So phone calls, in addition to the visits, you know, 250 phone calls to just check how people are doing. And then throw in the fact that text messaging these days, if you work on that basis, and a lot of our seniors do, some don't. And I've got some horror stories about technology that sometimes doesn't work for some folks who, my mum, she gets phoned up. Oh, we're phoning you because you've got a problem with your internet. What's internet? My mum says. Oh, well, this, your computer's giving you a problem. I don't have a computer. You know, mum, it's a scam call. It's bound to be a scam call. But, you know, there are many who love being able to connect when they're not physically connecting. And so messages can be sent out. There's still that regular contact, even if it's seeing that someone's saying something to you on a phone screen or on a computer. Such an easy way to keep in contact, to share encouragement, to let people know you care. I will tell you the one story about the lady who wanted to just send a little WhatsApp message back to someone, and then ended up pressing a wrong button on the screen, and at 11 o'clock at night, phoning about 30 seniors who she was connected with on WhatsApp, waking them all up, and everyone coming on and saying, oh, is it, you know, it was a conference call that had been created amongst a group of seniors at 11 o'clock at night, and she was telling me this, and we laughed, because she didn't know what had happened either. It wasn't that she'd even, you know, it was like, you know, the world is falling apart. What on earth is going on here? What have I done? And very bewildering. So we get fun times like that as well. Newsletters. I send out a newsletter to our seniors. I started off posting them out to make sure that everyone wants something through their door. And then I realised it was costing about £100 because postage is gone sky high. And so I hand them to people when I'm seeing them over the course of a week or two. I take them around to care homes. I keep everyone informed by whatever way, emailing things out, posting them, printing them, sending them by, you know, attachments and every which way possible. But it's different for everyone. And so that's a practicality that it's not one size fits all. Events that we list in the newsletters. So everyone has got something that they can stick to their diary or their board in the kitchen or whatever. Everyone knows the dates and everything. My mum, she's got it was early onset dementia. Now it's increased a little bit. And sometimes even deciphering the dates that are sent out, it needs a little bit of help. And that's one of the other things that we'll mention as we go through with some of the challenges. But diary dates are there. News items, keeping everyone up to date, especially those who don't get to watch the service online on a Sunday, don't get to hear announcements, don't get to connect in any way. They get something that just has a summary of everything that's going on in the church, of everything that's going on in the life of the church as a whole, so that people are connected. There's birthdays. Boy, now I get people saying, my birthday wasn't in. See, it's expected that every birthday will now be listed, because we all love it when someone recognizes our birthday, don't we? Even when we don't admit it. So I constantly say, make sure you give me your birth date or your birthday and we'll include it. But that's what we do, and it allows people to then say, oh, so-and-so's birthday on the 12th or the 15th or the 20th. I'm going to give them a ring. And then that's lovely that it connects people in different ways with that. Prayer requests that we include in the newsletter. All the summaries of everything that's going on. So lots of stuff there that you can include in the newsletter. And that's something that has been incredibly well received as well, because everyone likes to be kept up to date, especially when they find it difficult to join with us in other ways. Social media. When we started having some gatherings, I took a load of photos around tables and in the cafes and in different places, and I put them on my Facebook page. I put them on the church community page. I put them on the church general Facebook page, and so on. And that was lovely. And then another time, I didn't take any photos, and I had quite a number of older folks coming to me saying, you didn't put any photos of us on the Facebook page this time. And it struck me, because I'm learning. You know, I'm still learning with a lot of the things that I'm trying and everything. And one of the things was that we have some folks in our church and all their family live away. And so they know that mum is going to one of the gatherings within the seniors group. And so they are waiting at the end of that day to see photos of their mum mixing with all the friends and the people who they would recognize from the days they used to come to church. And they were getting in touch with their mum and saying, oh, there's no photos of you on today. I'm quite disappointed. And so I learned, take photos, publicize it, let everyone in the family see what mum and dad and, you know, family have been up to. So social media is one of those aspects that we let everyone know what's happening, and we picture those sorts of events. We got our seniors involved just in a small way, but nonetheless a way, a Christmas, because, you know, it's always the children who do the nativity presentation, isn't it? And so Christmas Eve, we brought all of our seniors who felt they were able to out to the front of the church to sing carols to the church. And, you know, again, well received, people loved that, and our seniors, oh, wonderful, we've been asked to come and contribute in the service. It's not just the young guys who are playing the drums and doing this and doing that, and we've been asked to be involved, and it was just a small thing. And I doubt whether we could have done a full nativity production with all of our seniors, but it was lovely to just hear our seniors singing a couple of carols, and they got a rousing applause. Something recent that I've just did just a week ago was we have a number of retired ministers in our church, and I just wanted to honour them, just wanted to bless them. So we got a date set up, and a few of them came round to our house, and we just put on a little lunch for them, had a couple of hours, and I tell you what, amongst those senior ministers, some of them were my pastors when I was young. They've migrated back to Swansea at the end of their ministry time and into retirement. And we have them in our church. And you know what? They blessed us in church. They were my pastors. And I just want to bless them. I went to visit one retired minister, and as we sat there and as we just prayed together, and you know, I can't even go into it, just the sense of the presence of God in particularly in certain occasions, as we just talked about the things of God, and we sat there and he said, you know, I was your pastor before you went off to Bible college, and with a big smile on his face he said, and now you are my pastor. And, you know, we cried. I cried. I cried more than him, probably. You know, such an honor. Such an honor to be served by those who are in ministry, and then to get the opportunity to draw people together and say, now it's time for you to be blessed in some small way. Challenges, opportunities. If it will move on, here we go. Challenges, opportunities, and possibilities of ministry. What are we? 25 minutes through. I wanted to give time at the end for feedback and comments and questions and wisdom. They say age is just a number. If you've reached a certain age, is age just a number? For some, they say, yes, it is just a number. But then many who I am in contact with week after week would say, really? With age comes a lot of other things. Age isn't just a number, because it seems far more complicated than that. And age is very often about entering a time where difficulties and sometimes terrifying new chapters and eras of life appear in all sorts of different ways. Loneliness and isolation. I cried when, in some of my early visits, I would go to a home of one particular lady who comes to mind. And as I went in, and she was so pleased to invite me into her home, and she said, do you know, Neil, it's so lovely that you've come to visit me, because this is the first time I've opened my front door in 5 days. And that cut into me like nothing else at that point. And so, even though I've known these things over years of ministry since the 1990s, when I first was involved in visitation and seeing people, it struck me that here is an issue that is a major issue. Part of the conversation, even in that particular time, in that day, was not the fact that there was health issues or this or that or family living away or any of those things. I was told the biggest thing that I deal with is loneliness. And loneliness, isolation, is a huge factor that we deal with, especially when there's been, as we'll see in a moment, bereavement and loss of family, migrating elsewhere and so on. And those who they used to mix with in church but maybe can't now because they can't get out of their front door or, you know, and so on. Another challenge can be memory or forgetfulness or repetition, which in itself can then bring a lack of confidence, brings worries, brings anxiety. I speak personally because I see it in my mum. And it is multiplied throughout many of those who are just that a little bit older within our fellowships. Dementia. Someone's called it a minefield in the mind. Again, I can speak from experience, but I also speak from the experience of being involved with at least six or eight families where diagnosis has been made, but because of the growing experience that we get when we are seeing and spending time amongst people who are suffering or could be suffering from dementia, there is, until it's diagnosed, doesn't mean that it's not there. And so it can be such a challenge. And there was a seminar yesterday by Megan Earl. And if you were able to listen back to that, if you weren't at it, I chatted to Megan this morning. And, you know, just in a half an hour conversation with Megan, who trains churches and trains teams and trains people outside in all different NHS and everything, trains into dealing with and supporting people with dementia, it is a huge thing. I think to myself, why 20 years ago wasn't this even an issue or a phrase? We probably just used to say, well, someone's getting older and they're just getting forgetful. But something has changed in our culture and in our society where it is such a huge issue. And I don't have the time to sort of go into that, but there's a lot of stuff that that we can do to research. And my eyes were opened even in a conversation this morning as to things that I see in some folks who are going through that sort of issue in our church, and as I say, my own mother included. There are mental health issues. There are some who I'm connected with who really struggle with different areas like this, and it's a very delicate subject and a delicate situation, and so there's no explanation that I can give on some of these things, but you'll know if you've come across situations that, you know, there are behaviours, there are just crazy things that go on in the mind, and you know, when we are with people, we're somehow having to navigate some of those challenges and be there to support and not cast people aside and not to throw away. I will say that, you know, if we don't help, then sometimes there's not a lot of help out there. There are professionals who are fantastic, but, you know, there are some professionals, and I wonder, well, I went to visit someone once over the last year, to be told by them that their social worker had said, well, if I was in the position that you're in, I'd probably top myself. And I did not know what to say, because you know, you're up against it if the professional has gone into that home and are basically throwing away comments like that to someone who could well be on the edge already. I mean, words fail me. Bereavement, you know, two become one, and two become one for however many years, and then one becomes half. two become one, but then bereavement happens, and one becomes half. Because it's not just one person who disappears from a scenario where there are two, but if two people have become one and have been married for 40, 50, 60, recently 64 years in a funeral that I had the honour of being involved in taking, then that team of one, the togetherness of one person, even though they may be two individuals, they're one, and then they're halved. There's no replacing. Supporting those people who feel like they're half the person they used to be. Again, that was one of the reasons we said to the Lord, could we move to Swansea? Because my dad had died nearly 3 years ago, and I didn't want to be away to not be able to support my mum. Even though I've got two sisters who live locally and the three of us, supportive in everything, there's something that is so important about us supporting those who feel like they're half the person they used to be, helping to navigate and adjust to a completely new way of life with all the challenges that come from grief and loss. In our church, independently of anything we do in the seniors, it's been amazing to see Debo as our elder in this respect has been working with a working group who have put together a bereavement course that we've never done before. It's from scratch. Material has been drawn together, and a team have put this together. And it starts Thursday night, tomorrow night. And I think as a funeral director, and as a pastor to seniors in a church that's large, and knowing the impact that something like this can mean to people who need support. Not everyone wants it. Not everyone feels they might want to be part of that. But I know from experience that there are a good number of people who will be saying, that's something that will be just such a blessing to me and such a relief to me to be a part of. Bereavement is a huge thing. I could say so much more, but I don't have the time because of everything I'm just trying to throw out here today. Frailty, the inability to do all that we used to be able to do, but encouraging someone that they're still so valued, valuable, vital to the plan of God. When you can't leave the house, the Lord's still there. The Lord's still using you. You're still praying. You're still encouraging. People who phone people in our church who I hear about and I think, see, that's what it's all about. Not just now saying, oh, we've got a pastor who's going to be visiting 140 people, but actually it's all going on. You know, there's the theme of care and support and concern and contact and connection and encouragement, and everyone's doing it amongst themselves as well. And that's what church is, isn't it? Right across the board, whether it's at any age or any part of our church ministry. Other challenges, visits to the doctor. The amount of times I try to arrange visits, and, you know, people who are retired, they're never in because they're at the doctor's. They're out for more blood tests. You know, it's three tests of the blood every week. It's hospital appointments. Let's go on because there's grandparenting responsibilities. I go to visit one lady. She's 89, but she has to pick the grandchildren up from school. And she can hardly walk. And it's like, wow, you know, there's still so much commitment to being on hand to support family. You know, you get through my daughter, Christy. We've got a little grandson who's going to be two next month. And, joy and a delight. And we find living an hour and a half away, the guilt of not being able to be on the doorstep and see them as much as possible and them to come and see us, because Christy's one of the the team and is ministry and training down at Western, getting ordained next year, worship leader and youth leader and children, overseeing the children's work and all of this. And we live busy lives and we're involved in all that we're doing in our own individual churches. But, you know, there is so much to be said from, you know, grandparenting responsibilities. But those of you who are grandparents and great-grandparents, it can be hard, can't it? You know, it's a joy, but then you say it's a joy to give them back again, isn't it? Because it's, you know, it can be, you know, oh, I can get down on the floor to play with Murray, but it takes me three times as long to get up off the floor, and I'm only 54. And so, you know, there's all of these types of things. There's, what I'm saying is, you know, how many before you retired thought, oh, I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and you're busier when you retire than when you were still at work. Now you wish you could go back to work to have a rest. Testimonies, personal experiences, all of the faithfulness of God, you know, some of the, these are the opportunities that we have now, not so much the challenges, because the wealth of wisdom within the seniors in our churches is beyond measure. The testimonies of those who've walked the walk, the surprises that are shared that bless and encourage other people, and the nuggets that get dropped in that help those who are going through other things as well. Another important opportunity that we have is to honor those who have faithfully served. So important to value and esteem those who've served and blessed us in the Lord's work for many years. You know, each one of us, at whatever stage we're at in life and in age, we all, in some way, stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. There are legacies that are left before us. And so for me, I now aim to bless those who dedicated me as a baby, who taught me in Sunday school, who prayed for me as a child, who led the church as deacons and elders in years gone by, who were instrumental in me hearing and processing the call of God for my life. Those who I've talked about who served as pastors in the church that I'm in, my home church, or in other churches elsewhere. Now they've moved down to South Wales and are in our fellowship now. You know, as well as all those who I've got to meet for the first time since I've moved back to Swansea after living away for 20-odd, 30-odd years. You know, it's a blessing to be able to honour those who have shown such service and such sacrifice in our churches. Socialising and fellowship. You know, many love to share Christian input when we get together and hear the word of God. But you know, it's amazing sometimes where I'll have prepared an epilogue for one of our gatherings and I'll get people who've been Christians for 70, 80 years, including some who've been pastors, who'll say, we've been hearing the word all our lives. All we want to do is sit down and have a cup of tea. And you know, that's not being unspiritual or sort of, but it's just being real and it's being honest, isn't it? You know, we've heard another sermon on Sunday there for half an hour, for 45 minutes. We've had our prayer meetings, we've had our Bible studies, and now we're getting together, all of our elderly folks who never get to talk to each other, and every 6 weeks, they just talk. They love talking. And so those who have heard scriptural messages and epilogues all their lives, they don't need me to tell them another 10-minute talk about this, that, and the other from the Word of God. They're blessed enough as it is to be in fellowship, and they appreciate that informal time, and they appreciate the meetings and the hymns and the different things we do as well. But you know, we come back to the thing that there are so many who say, you know, we're at a stage of life where so much of our week is spent alone. We want every minute to count. We want the chance to go to another table and speak to someone that I haven't really spoken to for 6 months, even though I see the back of the head on a Sunday. Socializing, fellowshipping, it's incredible. Inclusivity. You know, when I first started drawing people together and saying, you know, this is a seniors gathering, amazing how many of our seniors would say, oh, am I allowed to invite someone who goes to another church? Am I allowed to invite a friend who doesn't go to church anywhere? And of course I said, not a chance. Don't you dare be inviting anyone else, because we're exclusive. We reel him. We don't want anyone else involved in our... No. But of course it had to start to... And there was another learning point for me. I've got to actually announce, all welcome. Bring a friend. Bring someone who's lonely. Bring someone who, you know, you talk to down in the shop every day when you go and get your paper. Include people. Bring them along. And, you know, that's one of the aspects where, you know, things have grown in some ways a little there as well. Church and unchurch. You know, Neil, I've got a friend, but they're not a Christian. Would they be okay to come? No, they're not. Of course, bring them along. You never know. By meeting with Christians and hearing a little word in season, what might happen? They might actually get saved. Wow, wouldn't that be incredible? So yeah, you kind of break some of the thoughts and the processes that you didn't even know existed by, you know, dealing with things as you go along and addressing those things. All welcome, churched, unchurched, non-parochial. My friends go to another church, but they don't have anything during the week. They're just a small assembly. They don't have a prayer meeting. It's just a Sunday morning meeting. Well, bring them along. Let them just enjoy the fellowship that you are having as well. Great. And on they come. Another last thing on this particular thing before I just go into a few practicalities and then open it up at the end. Loving people into the kingdom. There is one illustration that has probably blessed me more than anything over this last year. A lady who attends our church, but her husband didn't. And this goes back decades because they experienced trauma of loss in their lives within the family decades ago. And one within the relationship fought through and etc. The other just couldn't get over it. Just wasn't anti-Christian, wasn't against or anything, but just couldn't face people, couldn't face the loss, couldn't face trauma had paralyzed that person. What does Neil do? I'm there for everyone. I go round to the house. I just chat with this lady who's in our group, and I chat to her husband as well. But it's just friendliness. It's just love. It's just me being me, I guess. And so over the course of months, you see a difference. You see a warming. And over the last couple of months, that gentleman is now in church raising his hands, is loving Jesus. Not that he didn't not love Jesus before, but something has happened where an environment and a culture has been created that has just changed something in the responsiveness and in the ability to process something that has paralyzed that gentleman for probably 20 odd years. And, you know, for some, there were responses, oh, so-and-so has come back to the Lord. And, you know, I don't know whether it's just because I've seen things and in pastoral life and in other forms of life now where I just chill out that little bit more than I used to, and I tend not to over-spiritualize things too much. And I say to people, do you know what? I don't think it was ever because he went away from the Lord. Didn't have it in for the Lord, didn't blame, didn't, you know, wasn't against the things of God. But just very simply, I think what's happened is that he's just been loved back into the kingdom, just gently, just through relationship, through meeting with other people who weren't there to judge or to say, you know, like we love to do, don't we? Oh, come to church, come to church, come to church. And, you know, but, you know, God has his way, and all he asks us to do is to just love people and then let him do the rest. Let him draw people, let him work in people's hearts. And so I'm a big believer in just loving people for the sake of loving people. Why? Because Jesus loved everyone. Jesus loved the unbelievers, loved the people who were, you know, traumatized, loved the people who were struggling with this, that, and the other. He just loved unconditionally, and that's what he calls us to do. No hard sell, no pressure, just unconditional love and care. Practicalities of ministry. What age is senior? Oh, I see. I've learned not to ask for any shows of hands or any comments or anything at all. But what I would say is that probably when I arrived at the church, there had been things that had been organized by the team at the church on an ad hoc basis to get our seniors together because of COVID, sisterhood finished. Anyone ever used to go to sisterhood? Gents? No, just the ladies. And so sisterhood had finished because of COVID. Prayer meetings had finished because of COVID. It was like starting from a new place, and a lot of people had got out of all of the habits of being together in those ways. And so things would happen, and when I was asked to take on the role, one of the first questions I asked myself was, who am I encouraging to be a part of the visitation that I embark on, or inviting people to the seniors' gatherings, and all of these sorts of questions? Well, what I would say is, what age is senior? Well, some are younger but feel old. Some are older but feel young. And so we have what I said, I'll set my stall out here, is I said, if you are retired and you want to join us because we love being together, come and join us. And if you are retired and you're at home and you're happy to have a cup of tea or coffee with me, I'll come out and visit you. What that sometimes might mean is that someone who's taken early retirement at the age of 55, you'd be surprised. There are some folks I know who are in their 50s and they've said, late 50s, I suppose, but would say, you know, yeah, I could do with a bit of company and fellowship. Well, you're retired, come and join us. Then we've got some in our church who are into their 80s, but hey, there's one chap, and he goes out running twice a week. And he runs, I was going to say far more than me, but actually he just runs. I don't. So, you know, all credit to him. He's a great guy, but, you know, doesn't attend a lot of our things. And why is that? And why don't I say, oh, come on, come and... Because if someone feels that they're younger than their years might suggest, and they don't see themselves as wanting to join with the older folks, then you know, that's fine. You don't have to be part of that as well. We chill out. It's not a problem. You know, you don't have to put yourself in a box. And so that question there, what age is senior? Because I did have a conversation, I think, this morning with someone. He said, well, you know, it's you. If you feel you want to come, you come. And it's a more open-ended thing. Accessibility, very quickly, making our buildings and our venues and our plans easy, not difficult for folk to participate. You know, when we started having seniors gatherings, we go up on the balcony in the church. Enough space, a nice sort of venue to have, you know, the get-togethers. The tables are all up there, so I'd roll the tables up, set them out and everything. I've learned now that I will never have any more seniors events on the balcony, because even though we've got a chair lift, it takes like 20 minutes per person. People don't want to be bothered with doing that. They just want to be able to come, park, or get dropped off, walk straight in on the flat, and there we've got everything set out. So I'll put those tables on my shoulders After all, I am used to lifting coffins a lot of the time as well. But I'll put the tables on my shoulders. I'll go down the night before. I'll be work up the perspiration and everything. But I'll do it because it's all about accessibility. And it's all about people feeling welcome and able to come to participate. We haven't organized any hill walking within our groups, but all of those sorts of things. Physical venues, easy to get to, easy to enter, etc. Days, times of the week. We started setting things up on a Tuesday, but we've got baby bank on a Tuesday morning. And by the time a lot of our older folks who are involved in that voluntary work within the community had tidied up and everything, they'd missed the ability to be able to come to the seniors gathering. And so we changed our day. It just makes sense. It's not set in stone. We just make it easy for everyone to be accessible. Safeguarding. This is something that maybe if it's something that you really want to ask me questions on and so on, then please do. But when I came out of ministry 14 years ago, safeguarding was a very loose sort of a thing. Those of you who are in areas of responsibility now in churches will know that safeguarding and accountability and everything is paramount. And so I now work within a sphere that I never knew existed when, I did things previously as a pastor. So risk assessment, accountability, vulnerability situations, financial situations. I could throw out illustrations of all of these different things that I now think through and have to deal with in different ways. Even when it comes to, and this, I'll throw this out to you, people who've come to me and said, I'm a mature student, I've got time off in the summer, I'd love to help you visit people if you want to give me a list of people to visit. But of course, with that then comes checks, DBS disclosures, etc., etc., and people have to go through those because they are recognized as being part of a department within our church, i.e. in this case, the seniors ministry. And so I've sadly had to say to some people, I know your heart, but this is more than me just, I can't even give you a list of some names of people to visit because I'm not allowed to give out names, addresses, details of people. And so there's a lot of things that I now sort of contend with that I never even used to have to think twice about years ago. Food. Oh, I found out that it's so difficult when you put food on and then find out that some people have come to your events and they couldn't eat a thing because they're diabetic. They need free from, they need sugar free, and so on. So I learn, and now I do two shops, and I buy all things to cater for as many as possible. So there's all these things that I've learned that I never used to think of before. So, I'll throw that one in there as well. The first thing that I ever did with our seniors was cake and conversations. I bought, you'd never believe how much cake I bought. And some people couldn't touch a thing. I learned from that. Team, a great way to grow people, releasing people into ministry and to share the burdens and not burn out doing it all yourself. I started off when I was asked to do the role with just me. But now there's about a team of a dozen who come down to help with those preparations and all of the different things and some lovely ladies welcoming on the door and, doing things that I never thought of, sticking name badges on people because it helps when you're on a table of 10 and you don't know what three people's names are. So, little things like that. So, right. Sorry, I've kept you. Does any of that make sense? Any of that a little bit helpful? It's really difficult preparing for, a seminar like this because I know probably even from looking out that you're in lots of different, some of you are pastors involved in ministry or some of you are elders, leaders, some of you are involved in all different sorts of things. Some of you maybe just wanted to be curious about what would be said about seniors and about what happens. But I'm not going anywhere very, very quick, so apologies for throwing so much in and taking a bit of time. Lord, I thank you for the way that you enable us to be a blessing to other people and to be blessed ourselves. Lord, you know that I say that I've got the best job in my church because I'm so blessed to be ministering to the generation that have blessed me all through my life. Father, I pray that whatever stage we're at, whatever we're involved in our own different churches, Lord, I pray that this would be something that would have such an impact as we go back and as we think through some of these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thanks. Please come and pick my brains or share some of your experiences while I'm here at the front. That would be great.